It's time for From the Short Grass with Trey Schaap, a golf podcast for those who love golf, struggle with golf, and just like to enjoy the outdoors and fellowship with friends, all while chasing a ball around trying to put it in a 4 1/4 inch diameter hole. From the Short Grass is brought to you by Stevens Incorporated, an independent financial services firm with the freedom to focus on what matters most. Blackman Auctions. For over 80 years, better auctions have always been Blackman Auctions. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels. We partner with you to deliver high-yield results by managing, developing, and investing in top-quality hospitality assets. And now, from the Short Grass, here is your host, Trey Schaap.
Welcome to another edition of From the Short Grass. I am your host, Trey Schaap. Jason Day won his first PGA Tour event in 5 years at the AT&T Byron Nelson, shooting a 9-under 62 in his final round for a one-shot victory over Austin Eckroat and Siwoo Kim. He was winless in 105 starts since the 2018 Wells Fargo Championship. Jason Day earned $1.71 million for the win, and now he turns his attention to the PGA Championship, where he has won that major once before. Oak Hill Country Club, the East Course in Rochester, New York, is the site of this year's PGA Championship. On this edition of From the Short Grass, I sit down with TV star Alfonso Ribeiro. I think you're going to really enjoy this interview with the Mirrorball Trophy champion. He won that on Dancing with the Stars. And now he is a co-host with Julianne Hough on Dancing with the Stars, along with his hosting duties of America's Funniest Home Videos. Most of you might remember him as Carlton from his time on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. That's coming up after the break. Blackman Auctions, since 1938, better auctions have always been Blackman Auctions. If you're looking for an upcoming auction, go to their website, blackmanauctions.com. They've got their full list of upcoming auctions there. You can find one that suits your needs. Blackman Auctions, one of our great sponsors on From the Short Grass. We're back after this. Stay with us.
With all the decisions you need to make about what to do in El Dorado, finding a place to stay is an easy one. The Haywood is uniquely positioned to make your stay one to treasure. Located in the historic Union Square District of El Dorado, the Haywood offers luxurious accommodations that feature contemporary, colorful rooms with high-quality bedding, comfortable baths with walk-in showers, and a spacious workspace with stylish plantation shutters that are unique additions to the stunning decor in a non-smoking environment. Make the Haywood your home away from home the next time you visit El Dorado.
This is Thomas Blackman of Blackman Auctions. You all know by now I'm not a good golfer, but my son loves the game and he and I have been playing more. I've got my score down to, I've quit playing a scramble on every hole. I'm using the bunker rake much less than I used to, and a lot of the time I hit my drives past the women's tee box. All of my success in golf can directly be tied to me listening to From the Short Grass. Without it, I would not be the golfer I am today. Trey, you owe me $20 for that. Trey knows golf, I know auctions. Come see us at BlackmanAuctions.com. Since 1938, better auctions are Blackman Auctions.
Strength is measured not by the number of accounts. Strength is placing value on relationships. It's having the vision and the guts to invest in growth. It's the commitment to responsibly manage your money. At Stevens, we believe that our strengths build success, not only for us, but for our clients. Stevens, member NYSE, SIPC.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Short Grass. Alfonso Ribeiro, an American actor, comedian, and television host, best known for his role as Carlton Banks on the NBC sitcom The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. He is the current host of ABC's America's Funniest Home Videos and Dancing with the Stars with co-host Julianne Hough. He was born in New York City in the Riverdale neighborhood of the Bronx, and he enjoys the game of golf. On the tee, Alfonso Ribeiro.
Alfonso, thanks for joining me on From the Short Grass. Do you remember the first time you ever picked up a golf club?
I do, actually. So I was with a bunch of guys. I was 18 years old, and there's a place in Los Angeles that we all call Whitsett. It's actually called Studio City Golf Center. And a bunch of buddies were like, hey, let's go to the driving range and hit golf balls. I was like, golf balls? What's that? Like, I had no idea what it was, like, at all. And so we went to the range, and just like any newbie, of course, you grab the driver first, right? And they start hitting, so I watched them swing a little bit, and then I picked up the driver, and I hit it over the middle pole over the fence, first one. The second one was middle pole over the fence. Third one, middle pole over the fence. Like, would have been like a 295-yard carry or something like that.
Just right? The first time?
First three swings.
Wow.
And they were like, bull, you've been playing. Stop it. Would it. Like, when have you take lessons? I was like, I have no idea. Now, by the way, for a year and a half, I never hit it over the center pole ever again. But it was like, you know, just that first time swinging it, because I played baseball as a kid. So I knew, you know, I had good hands, you know, good hand eye and all of that. But and then right from there, I was in love, right? So just day one, first three swings, fell in love. I got to keep doing this. And then eventually got some coaching and learned and learned the swing in terms of, you know, then it was a baseball swing, not an actual real swing. And just continued playing, continued to fall in love more and more with the game.
So you're from New York. I would think that, okay, maybe you picked it up then and you played it one of the places around there, like Wingfoot or something like that, or Shinnecock.
But I left New York when I was 12. So, sure. You know, and my parents didn't play.
Okay.
So they still don't play. So I didn't really have any introduction to the game as a young person to allow me to, you know, pick it up and go and play it and have clubs in the house. And so if you're not really introduced to this game, it's not really something that you find on TV, especially in the 70s.
Sure.
Right. So you wouldn't find it on TV as easily as today. But yeah, so I didn't have any connection to it.
When you picked up the game, did you decide, okay, I need to go find someone to help me with it? Or did you just self-teach yourself?
I self-taught myself for many years. I got down to where I was like a 14 handicap. And was there for probably, you know, 6 or 7 years. And then Will Smith decided to get involved in the game, and he fell in love with the game. And so, you know, whenever Will does anything, he would always do it, you know, Big Willie style, right? Mm-hmm. So immediately he's like, who's the best coach in the world, right? So he's like, all right, Butch Harmon, we're coming, right? And so he brought me and a whole group of guys, and we all went out to Butch Harmon school, and Claude Harmon worked with all of us, and that's when it changed. That's the moment I realized, oh, so this is a game. It's not how hard can you hit it. It's not how far you can hit it. Like, that's not the prize. The prize is how quickly you get it into the hole, and if you learn the techniques, you can get it in the hole quicker. Oh, and then it was like, woo! Now I understand the game. Now I know what I'm trying to do. And it really did help change the way that I, you know, I only took one lesson out there, and then I got a local coach in L.A. But that really changed the way that I played the game and understood the game, was once I finally got a lesson. And if I ever tell anyone who, you know, meets me or whatever and says that, you know, would love to pick up the game, I'm like, first thing you do, go get a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, don't spend 2 weeks hitting balls without someone looking at it and telling you what to do it right from the very beginning. Because what I learned is that a bad habit is harder to break than a good habit. For some reason, we can break good habits all the time. We break them
so
easily and mess up something that's working that's good. But a bad habit, for some reason, takes forever to get rid of.
Mm-hmm.
So don't learn any bad habits. Learn the right one. Learn all the good techniques and do it the right way. Play the game the right way from the very beginning, and you'll love the game for the rest of your life.
So what did the Harmons tell you? What did they start with?
I forget now because I've...
Maybe the grip?
You know, the grip probably was a huge part of it. I always overlapped, but I had a double overlap,
okay,
right? So I was more like Furyk, right? So the double overlap, it was like that one there, mm-hmm, right? And so... they didn't really mess with that. Obviously, they strengthened it, right? They got those types of things in there. But it was really the understanding of when you take it back, right? If you play baseball, right, it's more of a chop, right? You want to come from up here and come straight down to the hitting zone. Well, that's a slice, right? So what they were really teaching you is understanding that your hands need to fall as you're turning, right? So it's this, that fall motion really was everything. And here I am in our little studio, right? Like showcasing, it's that fall, make the club fall. If it falls first, then you come from the inside and you could square it up, and then it'll be a beautiful draw or even just a straight shot. You can even hit a fade from there, but it has to fall. Those were some of the things that I remember. Really getting your weight onto your front leg, not hanging back, a lot of the basics, right? But I knew most of that already, so it was really fine-tuning and understanding how they wanted to utilize the body in the swing differently than I was using.
When did you fall in love with the game?
I mean, I was in love with it already at that time. I will say that at that point, I joined a golf club and was playing as often as possible. And, you know, I ended up joining a golf club where Will lived, right? So we would be on set, we would finish early, and we'd hop in the car and go get nine, right? Like just drive out to the golf course, try to get nine in. So I was right, we were playing it whenever we could. Whenever I could get to the golf course, I was always going. So I was in love with it, really. Maybe a year or two in, really fell in love. I took it to another level once I started to really understand. I'm very analytical, sometimes overly analytical. And so I got to a point where I was like, now not only do I understand the game and understand what I'm trying to do, I know how to actually look at someone else and say, this is what you're doing. I coach my wife. Right. And so she doesn't play anymore right now because with the kids. But she started out, shooting in the 130s. Right. And within like 4 months, she was shooting in the 90s. And
you're a good coach.
Thank you. But the fundamentals are the fundamentals.
Right.
Right. It's that next level. Now, from 90 to 70 is a light year. Right. But from 130 to 90, it's, okay, let's look at your grip. Let's look at, where does the club come from? Where does it drop, right? Like getting it in. Let's transfer your weight left. Let's finish high. Whatever the person needs, right? You can see, I'm a very visual learner. So I look at a thing, and as soon as I'm looking at this person's swing, I'm seeing all the things that are wrong. And from, some of the lessons that I've done, I've learned what causes those things. I work a little bit. I haven't worked with him in a while. Drew Steckel, who's out there on tour with a lot of the guys. And, Drew would explain to me, we're changing this, and this is why, right? And these are the five things that you can change to create the same result, right? So you have to pick and choose which one works for you or how your brain hears it. I was doing something wrong and he gave me a tip and it worked, right? And then it kind of went away. And then I went back to see him and he gave me another tip that was the same tip, but just
a different way.
Yeah. And it was like, oh, well, that one really makes sense. And so that allowed me to start to really understand like, oh, so how does your brain interpret what I'm saying to you? For my wife, I have a couple friends that I work with that I've, worked on their swing and got them down, maybe 10 handicap shots. And you just look at it and you see it, and I'm able to see what it looks like. The problem for me is I can't see myself, right? So yep. I need to spend more time videotaping myself, because every time I see my swing, I know exactly why I'm hitting it bad. But I don't spend enough time videotaping. It's all, I have a simulator at the house now, and so it's all numbers. Sometimes it's like, forget the numbers. What does it look like? What does it look like as you're doing it? And so, I'm overly analytical, and I've got to, sometimes I got to just fix that and recognize that there's a target, go hit it.
Some would say you trying to teach a wife, or anybody trying to teach their wife how to play the game, could be very dangerous.
Could, but the reality for me is that she knows that I understand it. I may not be the best player in the world, and there's a lot of people who are way better and probably better coaches. A lot better coaches, but she does know that I understand it. And what I'm able to do is I also speak her language. So she knows that what I'm giving her actually works for her, right? And she's willing to hear it. It has to be a situation where she's asking me for the lesson and not me saying, hey, let me help you. it's, you know, it changes the dynamic greatly in terms of being able to coach your significant other, is understanding, well, they want you to help. Hey, you want me to help? I'll come help. You don't? I'm going to leave you alone.
Right.
I am not forcing my way into this relationship between you and that ball. I am not doing it, but I will help, right? And if you want me to help. And she always wants me to help, right? So it's we have a great relationship that way, where it's we understand what works for us.
Is there a time too, Alfonso, where you can get out on the course and just clear your head on a nice, clear, crisp day and a perfect golf course that's manicured, that you can get out there and just have fun?
I haven't had it in a while. I've just been very busy.
Yeah.
So whenever I've been able to get out to the golf course, and that's probably why my game has gone downhill so badly over the last year and a half. But I just used to go out and go to the range, warm up, hop in a golf cart, and go out by myself and just be one with nature and just play and just see shots, hit shots, feel it, you know, really kind of understand my body, understand what I'm hitting, understand the way it's working, and not do it in a match, not do it in, you know, messing with the boys or, you know, just me. And I haven't done that in a really long time. And it's probably something I'm going to do over the next couple of months, just to keep working on the game and really work on my game, work on me understanding how to hit my shots the way that I like to hit them, the way I like to see them, and be allowed to mess up, you know, and not the stress of trying to post a score.
I remember growing up watching you on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, obviously Carlton, very famous for that. And I've got a niece now that she loves watching you on America's Funniest Home Videos, right, and about right. to be on Dancing with the Stars again. So,
yeah.
I mean, you've got a full busy schedule, do you not?
It is. It's a very busy schedule, which, by the way, is everything that I've ever wanted. My wife jokes all the time. She's like, when your handicap goes up, that means you're working. Because there's nothing else that's going to get you off the golf course. So I'm working. That's a great problem to have. I feel very fortunate, and I love what I do, and I love the fact that I'm doing, you know, AFE, and I've been doing it now for 8 years, and now going to be, you know, the host of Dancing with the Stars with Julianne Hough. We're both co-hosting the show together, and so it's a wonderful opportunity for me. I've loved that show also, and so I feel very, very fortunate. I have got all my stuff with the PGA Tour Champions, which is where we are today, obviously, here in Las Colinas. I do all the commercials for them, so I did a bunch of commercials the last few weeks for them for this next season, and I'm living my best life, and I understand it and appreciate it.
When you look at AFV, America's Funniest Videos, and the golf clips that come in, do you pay a little bit extra attention to those?
I don't do any of that. So the best part of it is that I don't have to look at the videos that don't make the show. We've got a great group of you know, people who sit there and watch hours upon hours upon hours of videos, but they know that I love golf. So the producers know that if there's a good golf one, they make sure they put it in, because they know that I'm going to appreciate it.
Can you beat Will Smith at the game?
Yes.
How good is he? Just he likes it.
He loves the game. He's probably, you know, more like a, you know, 12 to 15 handicap. You know, and like I said, I'm even right now, I'm the worst that I've been in a very long time. My handicap is a 6, which is I'm just destroying me. To
some people would beg to have a 6.
Some people would, but my perfectionist butt. You know, I liked it when I was a +2.
Wow.
So we'll get
it there.
I was not today,
you
but
can
we're going
to back
on
to it.
I'll get there. I'm going to spend the next few months just really working with my coaches and not trying to do it all myself.
You're going to be able to play Tahoe?
I'll be in Tahoe. So I'm hoping that if I can get all this figured out before Tahoe, it'll be good. I mean, you know, which is crazy that my short game's as good as it's ever been in terms of chipping. You know, weirdly enough, I got a Justin Timberlake, you know, lesson in chipping 2 weeks ago, and it really worked. So I'm like, okay, I like that one. I like that tip, JT. I'm gonna work on that one. And now my chipping is great, but everything else is thing. So,
oh man,
you know, this game, right?
Yeah, it's the game. And you told me you had a lucky ball mark.
Yeah,
ball marker.
A marker that I'm using. I don't even know where I got it, but I have it in my bag, and it's a Arkansas.
Razorback.
And I just it's a red and sitting in my in my bag, and so I used two of them. So, like, you know, sometimes you use the bigger ones and then use the flat ones, and my bigger ones is that, and then I've got a Disney World Club 33 drink coin that I got in a little golf outing with Club 33, and so those are my two ones. So I'm like, okay, I'm you know, red light.
Yeah.
Green light.
Okay. Because
one's the Club green, 33 is yeah. green, right? So it's like red light. Hey, this is a putt that you need to just
pay attention to this. Maybe look at it on both sides.
And then you got the green light.
Yeah.
And I literally mark it. I use one or the other based on this is a green light putt.
So you carry both of them in the pocket at the same time?
Both of them at the same time.
Okay.
And I put one is green light, one is red light. Red light means protect this par, don't get crazy. Just let's lag it nice and close and get out of here. And the other one is let's go and try and make one. Usually I have, this week I'm using these two, but usually I have a ball marker that I use from the military. So whenever an Army serviceman or Marine or Navy, whatever, they might walk up to you and say, hey, we appreciate your service, and they'll give you their personal coin.
Wow.
And so a lot of times when
that
I'm playing.
That means something.
It means a lot. It means a lot to me. And a lot of times I use those in tournament play. This is probably the first time I haven't used one of theirs in tournament play to mark my balls as an honor to them in what their service to America and to all of us, really. So I use that as an honor to them most of the time.
How many times do you get asked to do the Carlton on the golf course?
Typically, I always say whenever I go outside of my house, I get asked to do the dance. We probably go, you know, over the course of a full week here is in the thousands. But there you go.
Is it reserved for one day?
It's reserved for one moment. I did it one time today because I made a birdie. I finally made a birdie. I got the ball to the hole. And so we did it one time. But normally, you know, I laugh at it, and I was talking about this in my group today where I always say to people, you know, you're asking someone to dance for you, which is insane that you would ask somebody to do that. But I do recognize that it's a compliment. It's a little love of my career and my past, so I appreciate it, but yeah, we're not dancing.
Who is must-see TV when they're playing golf that you have to stop and you have to watch?
Well, I mean, I don't have that very often, but I know that I played in this thing with Omega in December, and, you know, I got a chance to play with Rory McIlroy, and, man, to watch that swing. Mm. I got a chance to watch that swing for a whole day. He's probably one of those guys that, you know, I probably would never follow a golfer, like go to a golf tournament and follow him, unless they were friends and I was just literally watching him as a friend. He's someone that I would go out and watch swing that club all day and just watch how he's able to maneuver that ball and hit that ball a million zillion miles, but do it with such ease. Like I when I played with him, the first thought I had was that is the most efficient golf swing I've ever seen. It's just efficient. Mm-hmm. Like nothing is out of place. Nothing there. He's not rushing anything. It's just everything's in sync. And he's still hitting at 340. And you're just like, wow, it's amazing.
You won the Mirrorball Trophy on Dancing with the Stars. If you were able to win Tahoe, what would be bigger?
I think dancing would still be bigger. Only because of the fact that led to a whole change in my life, right? Career, everything changed because of that win. Winning Tahoe would be an incredible personal victory. Right, in mm-hmm. terms of years of the work that I put in to try to be a better golfer. So it would be an amazing personal victory. But winning dancing changed my path of my career, right? The path for my family. You know, I've been fortunate enough to have now these two jobs, right, that would have never come without winning that show. It's afforded me a life that I didn't think I would have again. So that's really the bigger one.
Your parents didn't play golf. You have young kids. Mm-hmm. Do you hope they take up the game? And are you looking forward to, in the future, having family time on the golf course?
Well, we do it now.
Okay,
so
good.
My 9-year-old actually played 18 holes with me when he was 4. So
wow.
So he was playing. And then he wanted to play baseball. And I said, well, you can't play baseball and golf. because they're opposing swings. So if you want to play baseball, we're going to quit golf for a little bit. We're going to learn the baseball swing. And then once you learn the baseball swing, we'll introduce golf again and go back and forth so that you know the difference between the two, but you have both swings locked down. Because his golf swing is near perfect. Like, he's got a beautiful golf swing, and he's got a beautiful baseball swing. But he had to learn the baseball swing and not try to take the golf swing to the baseball game, right?
Like, I get that, yeah.
So I was like, you have to learn them separately. And now that you know them, let's reintroduce them both again. And so, like, Easter, all the family, we hopped into golf carts and we went out and played 9 holes. And, you know, they enjoy that. And my wife enjoys it. And we take the little one with us. And she swings the club every once in a while,
that's
too.
That's awesome.
So my 3-year-old now is she's starting to swing the club. Both my boys, they love it. They asked me to help them in the simulator. They asked me to take them out, and so it's good to be the cool daddy that they're still asking to be involved.
Favorite golf course you've ever played?
I love Pebble Beach. I really do. I love being up there. You know, it's like 1A and 1B is Pebble Beach and Cypress Point, right? Like, both of those, I've been so fortunate
there?
To be able to. You know, some great gentlemen have taken me out at in Cyprus. And obviously I play in the AT&T every year, and the Pure First Tee. And so those tournaments, I get to play Pebble. And then when I'm up there, I sneak over to Cyprus and get a round in. Great places to play. I've never been able to play Augusta yet. I know some people who keep saying that they will invite me eventually. My wife knows that when I get the invite, I don't care what's going on, I'm on the plane. I'm going.
Yes.
We figure out how to make it work for the family time, but I'm going.
Exactly. No doubt about that. You don't turn that one
down. No.
Fantasy foursome, Alfonso Ribeiro, living or deceased, 3 other golfers you would like to play with.
Well, I just think that you go with the big 3, right? You go with Jack, you go with Arnie, and you go with Tiger. Those would be the 3 that I would love to absolutely play with. I've never had the opportunity to play with any of them. I did have a great moment where I was at Bay Hill and I was playing in Arnie's game, but he wasn't playing anymore. And he was on the range and he watched me hit balls. I didn't even know he was there. And then he walks up and he's like, "Oh, we got a player today." I was like, hey, Mr. Palmer. You know, I felt like a little kid. And then I went out and shot like 68 that day. And it was
wow,
like,
there you go.
Like at Bay Hill.
It 4
like,
under.
I felt so, it was like the most amazing day. I cleaned up in his game. I took home way too much money, and the boys were pissed. They were like, "We're sending a limo for you tomorrow," but I can't. I'm doing Disney World. that was pretty cool. But I've never played with Jack, obviously, and I've never played with Tiger. But would be my dream foursome.
Alfonso, thanks so much.
You
appreciate it.
Yeah, man. Thank you.
This is Thomas Blackman of Blackman Auctions. When you call Blackman Auctions to sell your assets, you begin a multi-point plan to get the highest value possible. Each auction takes 30 to 45 days of planning and strategic marketing for your real estate, your equipment, and your assets. You've worked hard for your property, and it deserves more than a sign in the yard or a post on the internet. Sometimes marketing is more than just a commercial with a great-sounding spokesman. Call me. Let me come up with a plan to tell your story and turn your assets into money. Since 1938, better auctions are Blackman Auctions.
When your travels take you to Bentonville for a meeting with Walmart, a trip to Crystal Bridges, or the Walmart Amp for a concert, make sure you book your stay at one of the top Beechwood Pinnacle Hotel Group properties. Beechwood Pinnacle Hotel Group manages the DoubleTree Suites, an all-suite hotel with tons of meeting space, and the Hilton Garden Inn, which has been newly remodeled rooms throughout the entire property. The best place to stay in Northwest Arkansas is a Beechwood Pinnacle Hotel Group property. Visit them on the web at bphotels.com.
That will do it for this edition of From the Short Grass. Remember, if you need a place to stay overnight, you're traveling around the state of Arkansas or even into Mississippi, some into Oklahoma, Beechwood Pinnacle Hotel Group. Find them on the web, bphotels.com. They've got a list of their hotel properties that they manage there. You can find one, stay there, and you will enjoy it. Beechwood Pinnacle Hotel is a great sponsor of From the Short Grass. I want to thank Alfonso Ribeiro for taking time out of his extremely busy schedule and sitting down and talking with with me a couple of weeks ago in Las Colinas at Las Colinas Country Club. Remember, when you find your ball mark on the green, fix it and a couple of more, because I hope to see you sometime soon from the short grass.
You've been listening to From the Short Grass, a weekly podcast dedicated to the game of golf. This has been a presentation of the Buzz Radio Network.